Okay. Here we go. Sure wasn't 31 degrees this morning when I got up. That's a fact. Here we go. We are on the hill. Not like we're well over the hill. And some of us are well over the hill and nosedived in the ditch and are trying to come back up, actually. But we got Little House. We got Michael. Y'all before the hill. Peter, I don't remember how old you are. I think you're probably just kind of trying to figure out which side of the hill you're on. I think you're younger than you're probably going up the hill still. 48. Oh, you're over the hill. Okay, boom, ta-da. But that's okay. And Grandma's got the Grandma wins the prize, Dennis. I think Grandma, aren't you like what? I think you're 104, 105. I think. Of course, you don't type in because you don't. It hurts too much. She's had carpal tunnel surgery. She's had surgery from head to foot. And last night, oh, I thought she typed. She's almost 81. Patients, you're 80? You have to go to nursing home to find your guys now. Wishing. Metric. Okay, I forgot we got the camera going. Hi, camera people. Here we go. I'm kind of excited tonight because I wanted to look at, I've heard this saying a number of times, and I'm getting some really good responses back from you guys on, see, there it is, you guys, you folks. On the statement I sent out that I received from a pastor, Tom Malone, says, God is looking for Christians who are nuts enough, fools enough, fanatics enough to live as far away from the world as they possibly can. See, and I don't like that. I don't think that statement is legit for Paul. And I flipped it out to you guys to write about it and give me your thoughts, and you come up with some really good comments, so I'll read those to you probably on Sunday. I've got another one tonight that I wanted to talk about. I'll save it for a couple minutes here because it has to do with, again, being on the hill. Now, the first one we did, we looked at the scriptural comments about this modern religion. And this is all based on Paul on Acts chapter 19, on Mars, oh, 17, on Mars Hill, where he's telling these guys, and it's actually a false god because they know nothing about him, but they don't even know it. And that makes them superstitious. So, the next night, or the next sermon anyway, we looked at the results. What comes out of that? What comes out of this modern Christianity that we have, that everybody's, so many people are part of? Whether they be Bible believers or Lutherans or, you know, take your pick. They're all pretty much on the same boat anymore. I know the Bible believers will argue with me, but I'm not going to do that tonight. So we looked at some things that they had problems. And now tonight, we're going to look at what makes them so magnificent. You know, what makes it so magnificent that people just, they just quit and they go back to that thing. You know, what's going on? So we go to Acts chapter 19. 17 is the Mars Hill one. We're going to go to Acts 19. We'll then kind of start there. We'll go to it enough times that maybe you'll remember this thing. This is Demetrius the silversmith and all the money they're losing from Paul's preaching and everything. And you get up into verse 27 where they lost their money. So if people start worshiping the real God and they start following the risen Savior and the King James Bible rightly divided, there's no money in that. There's no money growth in that thing. You can't even preach or make money doing that. There's nothing. There's no trinkets to sell. There's no crosses. There's no fancy Bibles. Our Bibles are King James, uncopyrighted, and they don't cost maybe $30, $40, $50. Spend $100 if you want to get a really nice one, stuff like that. But that's not magnificent to people. You get a nice Bible, that's not magnificent to them. So what is it about this modern Christianity that is so magnificent? And Diana, it says here they also that the temple of the great goddess Diana, verse 27, should be despised. And her magnificence should be destroyed. So my question here is, do you despise yet this modern Christianity? Do you despise it? Are you so against it that you just despise the whole thing? The deception that's in there, the lies that are in there, the results. We talked about the results. You know, you go through the scripture stuff and you see what it is about these, about this religion. It is so wicked and so rotten. Do we despise it? Are we willing to live amongst it? Are we willing to live with it? Are we willing to let our kids have it? Are we willing to go along with it? You know, it's a tough deal. Now, here's an example. And, you know, we find ourselves getting into these things a little bit. Here I'm in a public school teaching thing, and one of my kids today said, just one of my little second or third graders or something, he just piped up and he said, do you know whose birthday Christmas is? And I, you know, I give the kid credit for wanting to be a witness. That's pretty neat. I said, well, I don't know, is it yours or whatever, you know? And he said, well, it's Jesus. And a couple of the other kids, pretty neat that the kids would pop up and say something like that. And I thought for a couple of things, you know, I know that's not true. I can't support him saying that. I can't get into this, but I can't agree with that kid. So I said, you know, it's quite interesting, but everybody says Christmas is Jesus' birthday. But if you look at the Bible and the scriptures and look at the scholars, I dropped their names, like of all people, they know that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. He was born more in the fall. And it was the kid looked at me like, really? I said, yeah. I mean, you just read the story in the Bible, and you'll find a lot of things in the story, in a regular Bible, King James Bible, aren't what Christmas is made out to be nowadays. And I'm already on dangerous ground. But I couldn't let these kids see me agree with the fact that December 25th is Jesus' birthday. That is a small little thing, but I'm already having a hard enough time with the Santa Claus junk. In fact, let me tell you this, too. Here's what I did with my kindergarten class. One of my kids was acting up kind of crummy, you know, those little kids, and they can't sit still. So I stopped for a couple seconds, and I picked up my telephone earpiece, put it on my ear, hit the little button, and I said, kids, just wait a minute. And I said, ho, 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 how you doing up there? And I made like I was talking to Santa. I said, I got a kid in my room here who's just misbehaving. Can you put him on the naughty list? Okay. And the kid was looking at me like, oh. I mean, this kid really thought I was talking to Santa Claus and the whole thing. So I said, yeah, well, we'll see you later. Ho, ho, I know, ho, ho, ho. And made it very casual, like I know the guy, you know. And these kids were like in awe that I was doing that to this Santa, you know. So I did it for a couple more times. Then I called him back and told him to put his name back on the good list because he's doing well. One kid was so bad, I had him erase his name off the list. And that kid straightened right. Isn't that sad? I mean, I know I shouldn't have done that kind of dumb stuff. These three boys were willing to straighten up totally because he thought I was talking to Santa Claus to have their name erased and checked off the list. So, there's that. Now, this is that modern religion stuff. They just convinced that Jesus' birthday was Christmas, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So, at what point do we do what we do about Christmas? Us Bible believing, King James following, Paul believing, kind of stuff, you know? So, that's not the sermon thing, but that's still part of that religion stuff. It's still part of the religion. So, do you despise all this stuff? I despise this stuff. I just despise it. Now, as I was writing this thing up, I said, okay, let's go through some of the things that make this thing so magnificent to people. And the first one I thought of when I write my stuff down here was, you know, these modern Christians, they accept anybody except us. We know that. But that we'll get over that kind of a thing. They'll listen to us, but we can't talk Bible. So we know that. But they accept everybody. And so how nice would that be that we wouldn't get bothered by anything or bothered by anybody? Everybody can believe what they want. We don't care. It's not gonna bother us. The kid wants to think, all that kind of stuff. So I started looking at that. Everybody, they accept everybody. And that's a magnificent thing because people are tired of the battles and the frustrations over different people and different beliefs and the different way people behave. Why do we all of a sudden have to be everybody's friend? Oh, yeah, Facebook. The challenge there is the objective is to get as many friends as you can have on Facebook. You're not friends. What happened to the deep definition of a friend? These are just names on your list, and they call it, you know, their friend thing. It's just silly. But this modern religion, everybody's fine. Just everybody's fine. The brotherhood thing. Everybody's saved. Everybody's a Christian if they've been baptized. Whatever they want to get into. And so I looked up a couple of things here, and I got to thinking, you know, it's not the people I despise. It's the religion. It's the belief that people have. And then I thought of this phrase that everybody comes up with, hate sin but love the sinner. Or love the sinner, hate the sin. You know, and that's just still, that phrase struck a chord with me that I don't know about that. Now, what's wrong with love the saint but not the sinner? thought of thinking about that one. Well, the Christian, well, sure, we're supposed to love the brethren, but are we supposed to love the lost people? Okay, so, you know, I'm going to look into this thing, because this phrase has always bothered me, love the sinner but hate the sin. So, we got in, I looked up Ephesians 5:29. Let's look up Ephesians 5:29, for those of you that actually have your Bibles there. Ephesians 5:29. And we see there where it says, no man ever yet hateth his own flesh. Okay, so, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So, we look at ourselves, you know, we don't even hate our own flesh. And we should, because look what's attached to our flesh. But see, their sin is attached to their flesh. Our sin is not attached to our flesh. So to me, my flesh is just, it's an aging thing that is just, it's just crummy. But he still says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. So we still do that. Well, I got to thinking more and more, abhor is a phrase. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 22. You know, love the sinner, hate the sin. Do we hate the sin? Are we supposed to hate the sin today? Do we love the sinner? I mean, what's going on here? Let's look this thing up here. Romans 2:22. I'll show you. So I'll ask you some questions. There's some pertinent questions about this. Romans 2:22. Thou sayest a man should not commit adultery. Dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? I mean, you preach against and disagree with idols. What is it? TV, smoking. I mean, whatever you can't stop is like an idol to you. So you tell people that people shouldn't be doing that, and yet there you are in their home, privacy of your home, doing the very same thing. So we're told in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, look at that one. This is the first one I thought of. He doesn't tell us to hate sin or love the sinner or hate the sin. He doesn't tell us that like that. Have you heard of that thing? I'm sure you have. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, he says here, let love be without dissimulation. That's with a false, that means without a false fake front, which is what everybody has today. But he says, abhor that which is evil. Well, sin is evil. I know that. He doesn't tell us to hate sin. He tells us to abhor, which is even beyond hate, evil. So this religion isn't sin, right? It's not somebody sinning as such. It's evil. It's an evil thing. I abhor. I despise this modern religion. I abhor. I despise where our churches are headed. Used to be Paul churches, now going back to the community, now going to Paul. All that stuff across the country. See, I despise that. And I abhor that evil. But do I hate the people? Do I despise the people? Well, it made me think. We kind of talked about it Sunday, but what does God think of these people? Okay? What does he say about us towards these people? I'm one of those strange birds that wants to find in my Bible the final product, the final conclusion, the final authoritative statement. I may not do it. I may just let my flesh win. But I want to know, and as I've kept that attitude in my life, I have seen where this Bible will correct everything. And it will instruct us in righteousness, his way. It's all there. You Mary's going down the dumps, this Bible will tell you how to fix it. I know how to fix things in my own family. I'll show people. I could do that. The Bible will do that. I can take somebody else back there in Tushy. I can take somebody in your grocery. I don't forget Massachusetts, obviously. Peter, Massachusetts, duh. Michael and Grandma, anybody that's around us, any problems or difficulties they have, that thing could be solved if they just obey a rightly divided King James Bible. So I thought, well, these people, we hate the sin, and we're supposed to abhor evil. So we've already fixed that thing. But this thing about love the sinner, is that true? Well, if it's a brethren, there's no sin involved. Because it's not imputed. Our souls are clean. Near as I can tell, our soul is sitting at the right hand of God, is sitting up there with him now. And when the Spirit of God leaves, boom, our body drops down, and our soul, and our the Spirit and the Spirit of God, and we go up there, and we're there. We come back and get our bodies later. So, we can't put the hate the sinner on the person and a Christian. What about these lost people? We hate the sin. No, you know, we despise modern religion. So who are these people that we say, well, let's love the people? Well, here, let's kind of review. We won't take the time to look at the scriptures as such. Let's kind of summarize them. Here's what that we are trying to pal around with, because we want to be accepted by everybody. We want to mate. We want to have some friends. We want to have we want to get along with the neighbors. We want to maybe go to a church potluck or something. I don't know why, other than for free food, or I don't know. What does God say about these people? Well, these people that we're talking about here, they have good words. They speak with much flattery. They have their tons of good works. They're nice people. They help us a lot. They're actually very nice people. I mean, the niceness they have. A lot of them are pretty big on charity. So their religion in lots of places is very nice. It's very good. But see, that religion represents Diana. It represents a false religion. And we're to despise that religion. We are to destroy the magnificence of that thing. Well, how do we do that and have friends? I mean, man alive. You know, we're supposed to just hate the sin and love the sinner. Are we? Okay, so let's look at this thing here. He says, these people, if they're a formal pastor, they're ministers of righteousness. And it's the wrong righteousness because they're of the devil, he says in 2 Corinthians 11. So these pastors that are such nice people, that are being so good to your friend, are of the devil. They're not rightly dividing. They can use a King James. Devil doesn't care about a King James Bible, but he hates a King James Bible that's rightly divided. And he really hates the rightly divided guys that don't go by the verse by verse, but he goes according to Paul's books, because that's the way it's supposed to be done. He'll even let the verse by verse guys mouth off and blow everything because they're still teaching the truth wrong. Or wrongly. Incorrectly. So, these people that are so loved by your friends, their pastors, are ministers of righteousness. Here's some more description of these people that we think that we're supposed to, are we supposed to love the sinner and hate the sin? Now, here we go. These people have pleasure in unrighteousness. They enjoy doing the wrong thing. These people, especially these religious people, they actually think they're imitating Jesus. Well, how do you know that? Because every Bible except the King James Bible tells them to imitate Jesus. Not follow Jesus, imitate him. It doesn't tell them to follow Paul, it tells them to imitate Paul. So if they're following that religion, whether they believe this or not, or aware of this or not, they're being taught to imitate Jesus. See, imitate Jesus. Jesus didn't do anything wrong. So if we follow Jesus' footsteps, we won't do anything wrong either. So basically, these people don't think they're doing anything wrong, because God hasn't corrected them. God hasn't chastised them. Anything that goes wrong in their life, well, that's just life, or that's the will of God, but it's not for punishment. He just wants to teach me some good lessons, you know, kind of a thing. So these are the people that are behind all this stuff. These are the people that could be your own family members, your closest husband, wife, even your children, your kids grow up and get into this stuff. And what's to say is unrighteous? King James Bible tells me what's unrighteous. King James Bible tells me about movies and TV and the programs we watch and the commercials. It doesn't say commercials or TV or Wii or anything like that. No, but it tells us what to use for our standards of modesty, or what's right, what's wrong compared to things. No, there's nothing wrong with the TV. It's what you do with it. I would say, if you turn it on, here's your first problem. But there's some things you can do on there. Does it waste a lot of time? Does it have control over you? Is it going to cause somebody else to stumble? The list goes five things there. So these people, they enjoy this stuff. And they think they're imitating Jesus. And we know that that's the devil's plan in Ezekiel and Isaiah, to be like the Most High. He wants worship. So if he gets the people to imitate Jesus, he'll get the worship, not Jesus. Here's some more things. The talks in Colossians, that we obviously, the teaching here is the fact that they're still attached to their flesh. So in other words, it really is them that's doing the wrong thing here. To us, we're separated from our flesh. And Paul says, it's not me, but the sin that dwelleth in me. It's still in my flesh. I'm cut away from that flesh. I just choose to follow my flesh. But these people that are friends, or whatever we're looking to them as, they're still attached to their flesh. That's a serious thing. Their flesh is really wicked. They could turn in a marriage any day. They could turn on you any time. Your kids could turn on you. You could turn on your kids. The devil can be messing with somebody's flesh, and some stupid things can happen. But as far as you and God's concerned, if you're separated from your flesh, that's not you doing it. That's the devil messing with you. But if you're attached to that flesh, you've got a problem. These people have a problem. They are part of that flesh. And we know that in the flesh dwells no good thing. In him dwells no good thing. We know that the flesh is wicked. We know it's dirty and vile. He also says these people that are not with the King James, rightly divided, following Paul type of a Bible, saved people, he knows that they have a corrupt mind. Their mind's been corrupted. Now remember, these are good people. They've got good words, fair speeches, they flatter a lot, they make you feel good about yourself. They like you, they swoon you. I mean, they get you thinking that, you know, this is so nice to talk to them. And yet, their pastors are preachers from hell. They enjoy doing the wrong thing, but not all of them. A lot of these people have better standards and better rights and wrongs than the saved that dress better than the Christians, the Bible believing King James, Paul following Christians, because see, we got grace, so we can wear what we want. Some of those people just know what, they don't want to dress like that. It's immodest. I had some kids today. I told them that we got our Christmas concert Monday, and I sure would like you kids to look really nice. And you girls, you just look pretty like little girls. And a couple of them said, I got dresses for this. And a couple of other ones, one girl said, can I wear this? And it was a pair of sloppy looking jeans. And I said, well, you know, I don't think that's very modest. And a couple of other kids said, I've got some really modest dresses. And so I thought that was some good stuff to talk about with these kids in some ways. And yet, like I say, these modern Christians, these modern people get better standards than the King James guys, a lot of them. That's always irked me. That's, we have such a lousy testimony with what we wear and how we talk and how the ladies behave and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, these people have a corrupt mind. These people we're supposed to love, are we supposed to really love these people? They have a corrupt mind. Now, I'll show you at the end how this thing is answered. There's a really good ending to this thing. Let's go through some more what God says about these people that we say that we're supposed to love the sinner and hate the sin. I'll show you something here. God says that these people are reprobate concerning the faith. They have no desire. They hate your faith. Your faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. They hate that. They're reprobate concerning that. And here we are hanging around with them, and we're supposed to separate ourselves from that. Are we not supposed to separate ourselves from that? Well, we'll see in a minute here. But that's what he says. They're reprobate concerning the faith. And the Bible says in Timothy that they're going to get, just going to get worse and worse. They will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The Bible says that these people are proud. They know nothing, he says. I've always liked that phrase. Know nothing. Knowing nothing. And you got people with degrees and 16,000 years of college, $40 million in debt. They just got smarts coming out of their ears, and yet they know nothing. Because they know nothing about the real Savior, the real God, the real Bible. So do we love these people? Do we feel bad for these people or what? Do we hate the sin and feel bad for the sinner? I'll show you. He says that they're destitute of the truth. Destitute. They know nothing about truth. So when you try to carry on a conversation, they don't even converse well because they don't understand that there is something called the truth and you can read it and study it. They've never heard that talk like that. These people that we hang around and love them, love the sinner, hate the sin, will cause us to err from the faith. They err from the faith themselves. You hang around them long enough, you're going to err from the faith too, because you're just going to want them as your friend. You'll share their sorrows, which come about because of the love of money, and you're going to hear their unsolvable problems, because the only thing that solves them to them is money. These people hate God. Paul says that in Corinthians. They hate God. They despise us. And here's what it says. This is very interesting. I didn't write down the reference. They despise them. Let's look it up. In Timothy, I want to show you something really, really cool here, or exciting. Timothy, I think it's 2 Timothy 3. I think that's where I saw it. Yes. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, and it says here, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Now, I go to Romans, and I just seem to remember a verse here. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that doeth good. But see, doeth good is what it says in Romans. And this thing in Timothy says, despises of them that are good. So, are you good? Or do you do good things? You are good because you've got Christ as your Savior. He separated your soul from your flesh. You know what? You are good. You're not doing good as much as you are good. So they despise. They don't despise people that do good things out there. They don't despise people that give money towards people or help with charity things or let them park in a spot for them. They got to get our, I mean, all the things that go on, all the good works that go on in America still, that's not what they're talking about. He's talking to the destitute. They despise them that are good. And who are good? Only those that have been separated from their flesh. It says here in Timothy that these people that we're supposed to think that we're supposed to love the sinner but hate the sin, these people have turned aside after Satan. The women have turned aside after Satan. That's what it says. If you're out in the workplace, I know, here we go again, those we're all forced into those situations, but it's still wrong. Aren't you glad for God's grace? Because you're not supposed to be there. And he says it's, you can very easily turn aside after Satan. That's what they do. They get married, and they dump the whole Christian thing. They just turn aside after Satan. These are the people we hang around. It says that they're tattlers. So you know, whatever they tell you, whatever you tell them, they're going to take it to somebody else. We know that. How do we know that? Because you do it too. You know, we do. High-minded, he says in Timothy. And if they don't rightly divide, well, they wrongly divide, and they follow profane and vain babblings. And it says it increases into more ungodliness. This is what God says about these people, that we say we're supposed to love the sinner and hate the sin. My question is this true? It says in the Bible, it says that these people, their mouths must be stopped. These people need to be shut up. It says they subvert whole houses. They'll take down all your kids, your family, the whole thing. They'll take you down. Now, question. Do you believe the Bible to be the Word of God? Do you believe it to be the Scriptures? Do you believe this to be true? Is God telling us if we hang around these people, they'll subvert your house? I believe that. See, I've had my house subverted. I've had my family destroyed because of the direction people have gone, because of this false religion we had, and my kids thought that they knew something was wrong. Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? Well, based on the teaching of the Baptist church I gave him, he was nowhere. So, they're done. They're gone with it. Yours are too. Some years out there are doing the same thing. Our houses have been subverted. You don't think it's going to happen to you in 5 years? 10 years? The Bible says it will. Why do you think God tells us from such withdraw? Why does he tell us to avoid? From such turn away, he says. Why does he tell us that? Because he knows these people are going to hurt us. Now, love the sinner? Well, we're not talking about hanging around them. We're talking about loving them. Well, are we to love them? I'll show you. Hang on. It says in the Bible that these people that we want to be around, it says they teach things they ought not. I love how the King James reads things. They teach things they ought not. For filthy lucre's sake is what it says. Well, there are just some of the general scriptures of these people. That when we listen to them, they got good words. They're very flattering. They do a lot of good things. They're nice people, and they're golden rule people. They're trying to follow Jesus' teachings. And how can it be wrong if they're trying to follow Jesus' teachings? Well, very easily, you could be trying to follow the wrong teachings of Jesus. How can you have wrong teachings? Teach the gospel. Teach Peter, anyway, kind of came up to my mind. Anybody? They're even starting to accept queers. They're even starting to accept queer marriages. They're even letting ladies in the pulpit. They're letting perverts in the pulpit. So they just don't fight anybody. They accept everybody. That's why I said, are we supposed to love the sinner but just hate the sin? So whatever these people decide to sin, they'll hate it. They'll say they will. but they sure do love the sinner. Oh, they just love everybody. God just loves everybody. He does. John 3:16 says God so loved, past tense. You've heard me say that for years. He offered him his love, and they rejected it. In fact, if we go to, where have I seen this? I think I saw this in Titus, where he says, but after that, Titus chapter 3, verse 4, but after that, the kindness and love of our God appeared toward man. Doesn't say he loved them. He just offered his love toward them. So God doesn't love lost people. He can't. He's God. So when we say the phrase, love the sinner, hate the sin, that's not true. In fact, I've come to the point now where if any famous little slogan comes out of this modern Christianity, it's wrong, and I want to try to figure out what's wrong about it. Get my Bible open, let's figure that thing out. Something's wrong with that. Yeah, keep on hanging to that verse for me too, Mark. I'll use it later. It's toward us. Now, I thought that was a good conclusion. But now, you know what? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. No, let's go to Titus chapter 3 again. Titus chapter 3. Let me show you some things that might throw a monkey wrench into our conclusion here. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. Pretty tough verse. He says to speak evil of no man. Oh, really? Well, does that mean I have to love them? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just says I'm not supposed to speak evil of them. That's pretty hard, isn't it? And whenever we think we're doing a good job, this is why I always say, when you think you're doing a good job as a Christian, you gospel Christian people, when you think you're following in Jesus' footsteps, come on. And if we Paul people think that we really cleaned up our act, just you find these little blurbs like this, where it says, speak evil of no man. Well, okay, back to the begging board again, because I've done that. So how can this be? We're not supposed to love these people, but we're not supposed to speak evil about them either. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Now this one I like because he does put a little stipulation to this thing. Makes it easier. Romans 12, verse 18, where he says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Okay, so all these people that this is the crowd, destitute of the truth, proud, knowing nothing, cause you to err if you hang around them long enough, they're men of corrupt minds, that whole list I gave you there, we're supposed to live peaceably with them. If it's possible. As much as lieth in you, do the best you can to live with those people. Doesn't say love, he just says live peaceably with them. Does that mean we have to love them? Doesn't tell us that. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Is somebody telling you, well, where's your charity? You don't love these people. Do I have to love these people? No, I shouldn't speak evil of them. I should try to live peaceably with them as much as possible. It just bugs me too much, and so I can't. So you get out of the picture. That's why Paul says to avoid from such withdraw. Nobody should make you try to love somebody that is not lovable in God's direction because that's not his design. We're not supposed to love these guys. Well, what are we supposed to do then? Galatians 6:10 tells us to do good unto all men. Doesn't mean you have to be mean to them. We can still do good unto all of them. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 tells us to be patient with all men. No, it says toward all men. Okay? So, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Chapter 3. Now, this is the verse that will show us that we're not supposed to actually love the sinner. This verse in verse 13, verse 12 says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. It doesn't mean you're loving them. It means you're offering the love toward them, just like Christ did for the lost world. God commanded us to love toward us. Now, Paul does remind us in Corinthians that if we offer our love towards other people, they're going to love you less. We've learned that one. Now, what does he say then about how we offer this to these people? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Am I making sense? There's a difference there. We don't have to love the sinner. We don't have to love the lost person. But we're supposed to offer our love towards them. What's that love? It's the love of Jesus Christ. It's the love of a rightly divided Bible. It's the love of doing the right thing. If you're a Christian, you're talking to another Christian to help them see how they can do anything right for the Lord. Etc., etc. That's Paul's stuff. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. In meekness instructing those that... doesn't mean we love them. This is how he directs us to talk to these people or be around these people. But I don't have to love them. That's a modern Christian Great Commission bunch of baloney. That we have to love them. We offer a love toward them, which would be telling them the truth. And we care about them. We don't speak evil of them. If we're around them, we do the best we can to live peaceably with them, as all possible. We do good unto them. We're patient toward them. And we're gentle towards them. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So, we pray for them. We're concerned for them. We thank the Lord for them. What? That's what he says. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Wrong direction. I do that all the time. Second, just makes you feel better that you do it too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 12. We read this one already. Love toward one another. Okay. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Not just amongst the Christians, but to everybody that's out there. Peter, you've got a great opportunity to be that good Christian with your love toward those people in your store. But you don't have to love them. I despise the sin. Sure I do. I go beyond that. I despise their religion. It's not the sin that's going on. Sin is still in us. Oh, yeah, I hate it. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But we're talking about abhor, evil. And today's modern Christianity is evil. I abhor it. So I hate the sin. I despise. And I don't love the lost person. I'll try to be gentle. I'll try to pray for him. I'll try to... I see, we're at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. That's what I wanted. So I guess we'll sleep you for a second there. Must be that apnea. So I suppose if I was driving right now, I'd be in the ditch upside down again. That's probably how fast that happens. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. It says, the Lord is faithful. Who shall stand... 2 Thessalonians 3, 2. And I'm sorry, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. So is that loving them? No, we don't have to love them. In fact, we can pray to be delivered from them. Because all men have not faith. Unreasonable and wicked men. We don't love them. They can receive God's love through us toward them, but they don't have God's love. So I'll be gentle to these people. I'll pray for these people if I think about them once in a while or whatever. And I pray to be delivered from them. I'd like to not work in a public school. I really enjoy these little kids. But it's really sad knowing that I can't just stand up there and teach to these kids that Santa Claus is not only just to see he's a lie, but your parents have lied to you, and this whole thing is not true. But see, kids, Jesus is true, and show them the identical characteristics that Santa Claus has towards the Antichrist, and get into the whole thing. I miss doing that. But, you know, the last time I got in trouble for telling some kids that Santa Claus was not real was in a Christian school. So, figure that one out. I like to be delivered from all that. So would you, Mark? I know you like to be delivered from that workplace. Those people are they don't have faith. And if some of them say they do, unless they're rightly divided in the King James Bible, those people, they know nothing. They're destitute of the truth. They hate God. They despise you because you are good. They're tattlers. They're busybodies. They're attached to their flesh. They're corrupt minds. They're reprobate concerning their faith. Their pastor is a minister of righteousness. They enjoy doing the wrong thing. And no wonder you're frustrated. And you don't have to love them. Same thing with Bob out there, Bob Harris, down there in California, the newspaper people. You don't have to love them, Bob. Love toward them. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Grandma, you still out there? You've got people in your neighborhood. Well, you have a neighborhood out in the country, but you've got people out there that you want to give your love toward them, but you don't have to love them. But you offer love toward them, and your love is the truth. The love is what you've been trying to tell people for years. It's because you want to show them the truth. But Paul doesn't tell us to love those people. Patience, the stuff that you got going on. Rocky Mountain, same thing. Mark, Sam, we're in a prison. Sam's working in a prison. Does he have to love all those prisoners because he's a Christian? Not at all. That sounds rough. That's Paul. That's the difference between Paul's teachings and the teachings of Jesus in the gospel days. And if you think you're gonna try to imitate Jesus and all that, then you better love everybody. But did he love everybody? He just gave his only son for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God commended his love toward all these verses. God doesn't love the lost person. Neither should we. And we'll be loved less for it. So, and despise, to destroy that thing is where it says they accept everybody. We're not supposed to accept everybody. We offer our love towards everybody. We're gentle towards everybody. We teach everybody. But we can also pray to be delivered from them. We're not supposed to speak evil of them. We're supposed to live peaceably if it's possible and do good unto them, not a problem, and be patient. They're lost people. We understand the situation. We've been there too. But to actually specifically love them? No, we're not told to do that. So that phrase, love the saint and not the sinner, that's not true. Love the sin, hate the sin, that's not true. Abhor evil, which includes sin. Love the saint. We're supposed to love the brethren, but not the sinner. Because see, the brethren aren't sinners. Whoa, that's a statement. What do you mean the brethren aren't sinners? It's not imputed. All things are lawful. So what's there to hate? But to love a lost person? Unless, of course, you know them and blah, 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 and your family, and then you love them, kind of. You can love your dad but hate him. You can love your mother but hate her. Don't like her. Put it that way. She's your mother. It's your dog. You love your dog, but you don't love your dog. How do I say that? Never mind. Hershey's a hard one to figure out for me. I loved Hershey, but I didn't like him. That's why she went down towards the end there. She started to remind me too much of myself. I had to get rid of her. So I hope that all makes sense. That's just point number one. I got 18 more to go. What is so magnificent about this modern religion and Christianity today? They love everybody, and they'll accept everybody. I'm sorry. I can't do that, and I'm not supposed to do that. So you're hanging around some people that are NIV. And you go get together at somebody's party and all that stuff out there gathering around the thing. And you know that NIV person. You know that what God says about him. That guy knows nothing. He's proud. He's erring from the faith. And he gets you to do it too if you hang around him long enough. Now they hate God. They disagree with you. High-minded. Wax worse and worse. It's going to get worse. As the world gets worse, they're going to get worse with it because they're part of the world. Their mind is corrupted. They're attached to their flesh. Just because they don't enjoy all things and are righteous, they've been brought up good. They've been taught right. Like I say, some Christians that are not Christians, they call themselves Christians, but they're wrong. have better righteousness than a lot of Christians who are Christians and think they're doing it. They're not. It can be anybody in your little circle there. Who'd you hang around over Thanksgiving? Do you know that God thought those things I wrote there and said there? God knows that about those people, your brother, your brother's wife, your brother's daughter, your family members. And they think they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to do what Jesus did. What would Jesus do? No. God, I don't love them. I love my brother because he's my brother from that standpoint, but not the way God would have us to love people. We're supposed to love the Christian that way, not the lost people. We're supposed to be prayed to be delivered from them. Does that make any sense? I hope it makes sense to you. That's point number one. I'm trying to destroy the magnificence of this modern church. Show them the love of Christ, but don't have to love them. Don't argue with them. Don't try to live with them best you can. If you can't, avoid them. Get out of there. Don't speak evil of them. Pray for them. Be gentle. Teach them something. Don't fight evil with evil, much as you want to. I'll pay him back for that. That's not a Christian way of doing things. We're supposed to abound in love toward those people. Doesn't mean you have to love them. I hope that makes sense. Didn't confuse you. One more phrase in my life I'm able to clean up with Scripture and show that it's not real. It's not true. So there you go, on the hill, people. We got 18, at least 18 more things to talk about to destroy the magnificence of them. By the time we're done, you ought to despise this modern Christianity and not hate the people that are in it, but we don't have to love them. Try to show them the right stuff. Otherwise, stay away from them. That's what God tells us to do. There you go.